Mickey Hart here. You're listening to GAA Hour Football Show.
The GAA Hour with Colin Parkinson is sponsored by AIB, proudly backing club and county.
I'm not finished yet. It took me a long time to get here.
Both parents have spoken with each other, and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other, and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
But these fellas, they get such a shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their asses for 10 years.
Excuse me, I've got a very sore throat. Welcome along to the GAA Hour brought to you by AIB. My God, club championship, eh? That's from Moy in County Tyrone. Sean Cavan and Colin Cavanagh's club. It's a song, The Village That They Call the Moy, from Ryan Kelly. I mean, Jesus, like, if anything, make you want to win a club championship, that's it.
It's amazing. If you see the video that goes along with it, I don't know what Sean Kavanagh is drinking, but about 30 seconds in, you just see him grimace and shake his head. That sparkling water must have had a lot of fizz in it.
Yeah,
they were amazing scenes.
It's just dream come true stuff. Like, you just see everybody in this tiny bar called PB's, I think it's the local haunt there, and squashed them, every one of them in their club jerseys, singing away. And there's one stage, yeah, I was focusing on Sean as well, and yeah, he just sort of grabs his face, like, I don't know, yeah, if the drink was having an effect on him, yeah. But it looked like it was just like, look at this moment, like, this is what we've been trying to get for,
yeah, first time in 35 years, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah,
their father, like, the Cavanagh's father would have played in the last team that
the
won
last
it
team
well.
Okay,
like,
yeah. Yeah, it's just when a village or a small town like that wins it, it just, there's a feel good kind of factor that washes over the whole kind of town. You could see it in the video, and I'd imagine there's been some crack in the Moy the last few days.
Yeah, we've got Colin Cavanagh coming up on the show later on. He was telling me about it's not actually an interview, but he was saying about having to cancel holidays and stuff, like, you know, just based on how long the season's going on for him, and geez, it could keep going into next year now as well, like, but sure, it's all about the club.
Yeah,
anyway, we want to get started with the club, because Jesus, you can't say Jesus anymore. Did you see RT had to apologise for saying Christ? Richie Sadler said Christ on TV.
I know, yeah.
And they apologised. Do you know what they didn't apologise for? Saying Londonderry.
No, but you wrote a fairly strongly worded article about that.
I just wanted to plug
direct
that.
People in sports,
it was actually mentioned in the Aractus, the Senate.
of all publications.
Of all publications, sports too, yeah. Anyway, it's all going on in Galway. Like, Jesus, we talk all day about the plight of the dual player, but get this. There is a junior club, St. Gabriel's, comprised of four parishes. They are playing in the junior football final Saturday, 2:45 p.m. Then on Sunday, one of the parishes that is aligned with St. Gabriel's, Capitagal, they're playing in the Senior Hurling Championship preliminary quarterfinal, which is a second round. I don't know why they call preliminary
quarterfinals. Is it last quarter preliminary finals. Quarter for last 16?
Last 16, yeah. But they call preliminary quarterfinals in Galway.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
not Mayo, no.
It's not happening. they're playing in that game, in the Senior Hurling Championship, on Sunday at 4:30 p.m. So, like, not even 24 hours between when that junior final will end and eight players have to play a hurling championship then the next day. I mean, for God's sake.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they've won. Like, I know they're probably tight fixtures there and that, but, like, you're basically encouraging lads not to. You're discouraging boys from playing hurling and football now. Like, and this is happening. It happens all over the country. Even, like, you look at the clips going around now, Jeremy Connolly playing for St. Vincent's, you know, hurler. Thankfully, he's getting to play club and football, but isn't it a shame that Dublin might never have him, you know, as a hurler?
Like, well, Pat Gilroy's in charge now, Vincent's man. Jeremy has 5 All-Ireland football medals, might decide that he fancies a small ball for a while.
I do not want to encourage this, because Jeremy Connolly kicking a football off either foot should never be taken away from the public. But even, like, you know, Podge Collins eventually had to choose. Like, you know, he was doing it for a while, but having to play games back-to-back as well, he couldn't play for Clare and football. Clare hurlers and football, like, even though the manager seemed to be working it well, but you have to choose eventually. Gary Brennan, I remember last year playing in the Munster Hurling Championship with his club. The very next day, that was a Saturday, very next day he's in Derry having gone from Tipperary, playing that club match, he went to Derry then to play a National League match for the Clare footballers. I mean, you're really not, like, it's, you're really not helping them.
The very best, the thing about the dual player now is that the very best players have decided that it's unsustainable. They've tried it for a year. Lee Chin is another man. These aren't lads that are in their late 20s, early 30s and might be struggling for fitness. These are lads at their absolute peak and kind of think themselves, oh well, I'm going to take on this challenge, and realise within a year that they actually can't. And I think following their example, I don't think there's too many they're going to try it on, especially the demands for both, you know, both hurling and football are only going to go up. So it's just, it's nearly a pity that, like, the demise of the classic dual player, but I don't think we're going to see too many of them anymore.
Yeah, and it's a real shame. And listen, I don't, like, I know I'm complaining here, I'm not offering any solutions, like, but, like, you look at a club like Socneil, and again, like, you, even Vincent's, like, they're doing it well. Like, Socneil played her hurling 1 week, then they played her football the next week, and the players train accordingly with each team, and the management work it really well together. Like, you know, if you could have something like that countrywide, like, have these fixtures all aligned. Now here we go on the fixtures again, but
yeah,
it is possible. You have heard of 1 week football next week, heard of 1 week football next week.
Is it possible though? Because you look at counties like I think it was Waterford lately. The Waterford football county final is on, like, towards the end of the year. And you would think that, no disrespect to Waterford, but with a county that,
well, they lost to Bloody Derry,
don't get particularly far in the championship. But the thing is, because their players are all involved with hurling, and then they have to serve two masters at club level, they're not allowed to, you know, the games are delayed as a result. And the thing is, it's been mentioned since the kind of restructuring of the hurling championship last week or in the last couple of weeks, but with those coming and with the Super 8s coming in, I don't think it's until next year that we'll realise the effect that that's going to have on the club player. And then that's even club fixtures going ahead as they normally would before you even consider players that are trying to play hurling and football. So
yeah, I tell you what though, we've got an extra week on the inter-county calendar. Do you know why?
I do. I told you beforehand.
Do you want to say?
No, it's all
the
yours.
Pope is coming to Dublin. He's going to Croke Park on Sunday the 26th of August, which was when the All-Ireland football final was supposed to be. Remember the whole restructure? And here we go now. We've got the football final 3 weeks forward. Nope, not happening anymore. The Pope is coming. So
who's
going to
say no to the Pope?
Yeah, listen, we're not going to get into that, but I'm not going to sit here and call out the Pope on
the religion hour.
But obviously, no regard for the All-Ireland final, which has been pushed back to September 2nd on a Sunday, so Mayo fans may book that
book
in
that off.
But yeah, I mean, like, do you want to have a go at the Pope here, or, like, you know, maybe he's just used to having the third Sunday of September as the All-Ireland football final. Maybe he wasn't aware that it was the third Sunday of August now, or the fourth Sunday.
Maybe I wonder, was this announcement greeted with white smoke from the Vatican, or I'm not going to have to go at the Pope anyway.
Anyway, we're going to go back to Galway, because it really is all going on. Port Tumna, the former All-Ireland hurling champions, are now back in the Galway Championship. They are in the preliminary quarterfinal. That just got decided on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Castle Gar have been thrown out. They've played an ineligible player.
Turlough Moore.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Port Tumna are playing Castle Gar. Yeah. Sorry, on Sunday. Turlough Moore have been thrown out. That's James Horan's club, right?
Yeah, he's involved with them, surely, yeah.
Jamie Holland, who was said to have transferred to a club in America, played, and there's a statement that they went to the DRA about this. They appealed it. It got thrown out from CCC, and then it went to the DRA. Who have come back and said, at a DRA hearing in Tullamore this evening, which is Monday, the Turlough Moore appeal against the decision of the Connacht Hearings Committee, so CHC, sorry, was dismissed. The DRA ruled that all avenues of appeal, as stipulated in the rule, were not exhausted, and this is a mandatory requirement before bringing a request for arbitration to the DRA. The matter is closed now, and Galway hurling fixtures will proceed this weekend.
Yeah, it's saying a lot given the GAA's kind of complicated history with bureaucracy, but this case seems to be a bit more complicated than any we've seen, or many we've seen before. I mean, Turlough Moore then issued a statement to Galway Bay FM. They said, they're deeply disappointed that we did not get a chance to present our case at the DRA last night, which was ruled out on a technicality. We were denied the opportunity to defend our outstanding young hurler and our senior hurling team, who have been caught up in this saga since last June. Two separate CCCs set up in Galway heard our evidence and ruled in our favour, hence our disappointment in not getting the opportunity to present our case to the higher authority, namely the DRA. We are satisfied that Turlough Moore GAA acted in good faith at all times and are deeply saddened by this outcome. So apologies for excessive use of consonants there, but they went to, you know, the DRA said that the reason that their case wasn't heard was that they had not exhausted every avenue of appeal before going to the DRA. But from what I can see there, there was two separate CCCs, Central Competitions Control Committees in Galway, that ruled in their favour. The decision to throw them out was made by the CHC.
Connacht?
Yeah, and then it was taken to DRA. So I can't think of any route of appeal that was not exhausted by Tadhg Mór.
Is there then a Connacht Appeals Committee?
After the hearings, yeah. Maybe that's it. That it didn't go to after initially.
Yeah,
having
and listen, I assume the DRA are like they're pretty watertight with these rulings.
Yeah. Whatever the case, anyway, they're not. That seems to be final anyway. And Port Dumna are in this weekend.
And it's a real shame. Like over like a player, like I know you have to draw a line somewhere, but a player who is a Tadhg Mór man, like you know, he's not like he's just got this guy in and played him out of nowhere. Like he is a Tadhg Mór man. Grew up, and I think he was heading to America that next week. Whatever, like, so we were still
it wasn't
there.
If he came back from America to play the game either. He hadn't left yet, but obviously it must have been when there must have been a query over the dates of the transfer that was submitted. But yeah, it's a pity that these sort of things become drowned down in bureaucracy rather than, you know, just a straight out competitive clash.
Yeah, and he did. I think so. Jamie Hall, I think he did score 4 points in that game against Port Dumna, and they lost.
Came on the sub too.
Yeah, Port Dumna lost by three, so like, it obviously was
pretty big impact,
pretty effective. Yeah. But I'll tell you who else like are getting caught up in this. Castlegar. So until Tuesday night, they're preparing for Tadhg Mór, and then they find out, oh, by the way, you're playing a different team now.
I think they had an idea that it might come to this, but yeah, it's not ideal. I mean, they find out for sure 5 days before a championship. Yeah. So
and it's double the work, and are they watching tapes of both clubs? Are they sort of how do you start designing who's going to mark who and stuff? Yeah. And obviously there's been a bit of a delay in the Galway championship.
Not just any club either, it's Port Dumna. It's like multiple All Ireland champions with the contender for Hurler of the Year there as well, so it's not going to be easy.
Yeah, so we'll leave that there because there's a it gets worse for club football. Did you see the clip of the reserve final in Derry?
I did.
Ballanderry v Kilray. Now this game ended 3-17 to not 12 in Ballanderry's favour. Ballanderry are now the reserve football champions. So what's that, 14 points, and it ends in a mass brawl, schmozzle, shenanigans, handbags, whatever you want to call it. Melee. Like, that's a good one. And like, honestly, God, like, you know, almost every player, like people from the substitutes bench coming in, people from the crowd coming, spills into the crowd. Like, some of the videos are horrific. You're like, Jesus, it's a 14 point hammering session. It's a reserve final, and there's people fighting in the crowd over it. And now, and again, this is all hearsay now, but I heard that it actually got even worse in the car park afterwards and stuff. Like,
yeah,
what? Like, where? But, what is going on?
But to even suggest that it shouldn't be happening because they were winning by 14 points, it shouldn't be happening anyway.
Yeah,
I know what you mean. They should have long forgotten about this as a contest, and the fight should never have happened. But I don't know. We can kind of look back and kind of not laugh about it, but these things happen. These things happen all the time in the GA. I mean, if I would say that anyone who's played club GA has probably been involved in a few of them.
A lot of the times it's funny, like, and maybe that's a bad thing, but a lot of the times you're the making of a young team who finally stand their ground and get involved in this brawl.
Yeah, I mean, a manager will say to you like, oh, you know, Conan was there and he was left on his own and nobody kind of came in to set him for him, and it's seen it's nearly morale boosting if your teammates all kind of rally behind you. But that's one thing when it stays to the pitch, when it you know, gets into the stands and, as you say, into the car park afterwards, that's when it really becomes a problem. I think I was saying to you earlier, when you're a player and when you see, you know, some players decide to get involved, some players don't decide to get involved, but when you see somebody that's not a player become involved in any sort of league, that's when as if you haven't crossed the line anyway, when you know you're punching the head off a teammate, whatever. But if you see a man with a tracksuit on him, if the fight happens to be close to the stand and somebody gets involved, that's completely
and everybody sprints what do you think you're doing, and that's when the crowd get involved then as well. And maybe it is maybe we're too far gone. Like, you know, this is a real culture problem in the GAA, where it's like we're so tribal, and it is like, you know, this is almost part of of club games now. Like, you know, not all the time. Obviously not, and the club championship's amazing. But
well, one of the things that when Chris Kamara and Jeff Stelling did that did the Road to Croker with AIB.
Yeah.
And Kamara kept kind of saying it, how he was amazed that I think he went to see Carlo and Leitrim for a start with two of the Leitrim players with their mother.
Yeah.
And couldn't believe that, you know, they were mingling with Carlo supporters, not the you know, it was all a friendly atmosphere. And that is as it is for the most part. And then Chris Kamara was remarking upon that again in the Dublin Mayo game. But it's all well and good being able to say that. But then when you go down to club level, these things, they're not isolated incidents by any stretch of the imagination. This one kind of got a bit of publicity because it spilled into the crowd. But I mean, there was one in Waterford, I think, lately.
Crossland Glen, two weeks ago, a
famous one then with Declan O'Sullivan's club Drummond and a Tyrone club Tyrone, there. Yeah.
Now listen, Ulster isn't the common denominator.
I know. Sure, look, I'm from Mayo, and nobody in the GAA, you know, everybody in the GAA will know who Mayo Mick is. Yeah. The guy who had to be held back by five stewards when trying to accost a ref. Now he reckons he was only going to ask him what he was doing when he got there, but I mean, it like, people laughed about it afterwards, but it didn't look good. It didn't look good for the GAA either. But so, I don't know, this has been a culture issue for a long time, and there hasn't, what can you do? I don't know, but I think that some people won't admit that it's an issue and continue to peddle the line that the GAA is all convivial and friendly when clearly it's not.
Yeah, it's completely different at club level, I think, because even though people in the crowd are probably lining the pitch, they're probably a secretary, they're involved somewhere, their sons are probably playing, like everyone contributes to the club, everyone at that game are part of the club, and this matters to the county fans as well, but they are directly involved in what's happening on the pitch, and they probably coach a lot of these players and stuff.
It's funny when there's games that like aren't high level that require you to have, you know, the ref to bring his own umpires or the ref to bring his own linesman, it'll be club officials that'll be acting, you know, that'll be doing the line and doing umpire, and they'll be given out to if there's a questionable decision that they know is wrong but can possibly give to their own side, you know, they'll get criticised after. Oh, why did you wave that a point? You could definitely wave that wide, or why did you give that a line ball? You know, you could easily have just given that the other way. So, like, you know, as long as that can kind of continues go on, I suppose that the potential for flare ups are always there.
Yeah. Right. Well, on more, I don't know if it's positive news, but there's been a couple more retirements in the GAA since. In the football world, Alan O'Connor, Cork legend, has hung up his boots. Now, we were talking about statements last week. What about this? What about this for a man? Like, doesn't even tell anyone. Tells the manager, like, no statements, nothing, no announcement. The manager just happens to be in an interview, and just Ronan McCurphy comes out and just says, yeah, Alan has retired from intercounty football. He's been a fantastic servant to Cork. There's natural timing with these things. It was Alan's decision in his case, and number one, I respect that, and number two, I think it was the right thing. And that's no word from Alan O'Connor.
Yeah, no Instagram post around like that. In fairness to Alan O'Connor, he retired in 2013 and he came back again in 2015, so he probably thought, no, I can't be milking this.
Patrick Donnellan, Clare, 2013 All-Ireland captain, winning captain, he's also hung up the boots. It gets worse. Parc Duffy, the GAA Director General, after 10 years in that post, is going to retire in 31st of March 2018. That will be 10 years, sorry, when it gets to March. He spent 2 years as a player welfare officer, 3 years as a coaching games development committee officer, and he chaired the games administration committee for 3 years. I mean, like, he's had an illustrious career, I suppose, in GAA admin terms, but he's legacy will probably be the Super 8s.
Yeah, the Super 8s and the club players, I think.
Yeah.
The Sky deal as well. I think the Sky deal was kind of brought in under his watch too. But when he came in on a footing of, you know, a lot more needs to be done for the club player. And I think Barry Tuffy has done a good job. But if you're to judge him on that statement, I don't know, does he come off well? Because I think that the plight of the club player is under the spotlight now more than ever. I mean, we felt the need to, you know, form a club players association, and I think the Super 8s and the changes to the hurling structure will be his legacy as well. But as I was kind of mentioning earlier, they might end up having an adverse effect on the club. So while I'd say he did a good job now, it's in a few years time, depending on how they go, it might kind of tarnish it a little bit, which would be a pity.
Yeah, and it's funny I did have a laugh and I looked at the date that he's retiring, 31st of March 2018. Almost like he's getting the hell out of Dodge and because super rates don't work.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You can have a scenario where there are three really bad teams in one group for the quarterfinal and it's awful and we're all complaining about these non-competitive matches again.
And the new guy comes in on April Fool's Day, so imagine what he's been going to be subjected to in his first day of the job.
Yeah, no, but the very best of luck, Pork. One man who is not leaving us, David Clifford. He's on Radio Kerry's Terrace Talk, gave a brilliant interview with a guy, Tim Moynihan. I mean, he's really a man beyond his years as a footballer and as a person, he seems to be as well. I don't know him personally, but just seems real mature. And he confirmed that he's going to be committing to the Kerry football panel in 2018. Now, I love that this boy's just out of minor and he gets to say that he's going to be playing for Kerry next year. I mean, this really shows where he's at, I suppose. But I came out and said my mother wouldn't let me go. Of course, I thought about it and there are a lot of alluring factors. But the one thing personally, and it's something I've said to some of my friends, I grew up dreaming of playing for Kerry. I never grew up dreaming of being an Aussie Rules player. I mean,
imagine how that sounds to the people that Kerry. They're just, oh.
And it's true. It's like, you know, nobody grows up thinking, I want to play for Sydney Swans. Like, you know, he grew up looking at these heroes. He grew up looking at Colin Cooper, and you want to be there on Hogan Stand steps someday. And honestly, I think, like, you know, as much as we might have a go at the championship and, like, you know, the finances involved in the GAA, you know, I think it's a lot more attractive to play in Ireland than it is Australia. Now, I know you're getting full-time professional sport. You're wincing there.
I'm just waiting to hear your explanation.
But like these boys, like look at Colin Cooper as an extreme example, but these boys are well looked after now. Like, you know, you get plenty of endorsements here. You're much more of a celebrity if you're good enough. And okay. you will get a job handed to you as well. You're going to have a nice career afterwards. You might be in the Sunday game or whatever it is. You know, there's...
You're talking about a particularly high bracket of player now.
Exactly, but I think someone like David Clifford might fall into that, and anybody who is probably good enough to be looked at by us Aussie Rules teams when they're 18, like, you know, they probably are in that bracket anyway. So not only do you get to play football, I think he's a footballer anyway. There's some stuff that he does with a ball that he could not do in Australia.
Yeah,
so that's good. He gets to play football, he gets to play for Kerry, but I think if you want to go into the sort of monetary benefits of it, the monetary benefits of it, he can get those as well in the long term, albeit.
Yeah, I just hope for Clifford's sake that as good as he is, and he's amazing, absolutely amazing, but as good as he is, that people are prepared to kind of cut him some slack in the next few years, because it's the nature of kind of the short term kind of approach we take to sports now, but people expect him to be starting for Kerry next year. They expect him to light it up, not obviously to the same extent that he was doing for the minors, but to be a superstar straight away. Doesn't really happen like that. It could take David Clifford mightn't even start, mightn't even be a, you know, influential figure for the Kerry seniors next year. It might take him a couple of years, and even when he does get involved, it might take him a couple of years to find his feet at that level. It's not that easy to just, you know, arrive and be a superstar. So I hope, I mean, the fans in general kind of cut him some slack, but Kerry fans who can be particularly demanding just are prepared to maybe wait and see. Now I he could prove me wrong and be an absolute superstar next year, but I wouldn't be surprised if it takes him a few years to kind of to really make his mark, and I just hope that people are kind of prepared to give him time and space to do that.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you even look at someone like Austin Gleeson, who's a little bit older but he's still very young, but even look at what he's done already and like how he's lit up games and he's done stuff that kids are going to go out and practice in their backyard because he's that sort of player. Like, he's already an inspiring figure, but then he doesn't have a good final against Galway and everyone's there sort of waiting to take a cut at him, be like, oh, where was Austin Gleeson?
He doesn't
today?
Dominate the final. He actually had a few good moments in that final, but he didn't do what he'd done in the semi. He completely lit up the semi final. That goal he got with the little double was absolutely incredible, but because he didn't dominate it, it was like, oh, Austin Gleeson, you know, disappearing act and like cheap jokes at his expense.
And there's a big crowd there waiting just to sort of take him down a peg or two then, because he has emerged so quickly and so massively.
Exactly, that's what like you feel for kind of people that are emerging today as opposed to a few years ago. It's just to the nature of how we judge sport has changed completely, I think. And if you don't do it instantly, the knives are going to be out for you, as they were for Austin Gleeson. So I just hope that David Clifford avoids that, and if it does happen to him, that he is I imagine that he's going to have the strength of character to come through it anyway.
Well, here's one for you. How do you stop a lad like David Clifford's head getting far too big. I mean, like, he doesn't seem like a bad lad. He probably will stop that himself. But, geez, like, this is a... Everyone in the country knows him. He's a household name. Like, this isn't a good miner coming through. This is the best miner we've probably ever seen. And, like, he's already, as we joked about, but he's already saying, yeah, I'll play for Kerry next
year. I know, yeah.
So how do you sort of curb that? Is that the
right way? I don't know. I might worry for him if he came from another county but Kerry. Because, I mean, if he started to get too big for his boots... He can't walk down the street without bumping into somebody who might have five All-Ireland in their back pocket and stuff like that. And they can kind of say, well, listen, you've done all right so far, but in Kerry at least, you're not going to be judged as a successful player until you have a few... I think James O'Donoghue made that point a couple of years ago as well. When there was a danger of him getting too big for his boots, even though he showed no signs of it, but that, like, I think I'm good because I won All-Ireland. Then you talk to somebody like Mikey Shear or something like that who might have eight.
Yeah.
So I think in any other county, well, first of all, he himself seems like a grounded lad, and it's not any of his fault that all of this hype and all this kind of speculation is coming his way. He seems fairly grounded, and yeah, just the fact that he'd be surrounded by people who have been successful, I think he'd be fine.
Yeah, minor titles are all well and good, kid, but that's not what we're in this business for. Woolies won a minor title, for God's sake. Yeah. But anyway, we're going to leave that there because we've got Colin Kavanagh coming up next.
Somebody said it's as ugly as Marty Morrissey for bots.
We probably, in fairness, he wouldn't know a penalty if it bit him in the arse. I mean,
like, what is the point of this? They swear allegiance to the cult of Cairn.
But I tell you what, you can forget about Sean Kavanagh as far as he's a man.
Is managing Mead at some stage for the rest of your life a pebble in your shoe that you want to get out?
No, I think I've got over that.
Have you?
If I went to do that, sure, who'd keep manners on Joe Brawley on the Sunday game? And you couldn't expose the nation to him on his own, could you?
Okay, we've got Colin Kavanagh on the line. Colin, the last time I heard or saw of you, you were in PB's bar and you were singing The Village That They Call the Moy. That looked special.
I suppose we had a fantastic evening. That song is very goes down in history with Moy. I suppose my man singing it, the famous Ryan Kelly. So we had a fantastic evening, and obviously winning made things all the more special.
Was that one of those moments, though, that you dream about? Like, obviously, it's been well documented. It's been 35 years since before you were born, or even Sean. And, like, I remember I sent that on to myself to a few club mates, just thinking, geez, if anything will make you jealous of not winning a club championship, this video is one of it.
Yeah, I suppose to be honest, I was early in the night, so you can imagine you can imagine how things moved after that. But a special moment in the club's history. I suppose something that we've all strived for, as the years have went by, and just we've always fell short. The last time was 2008, and I remember on a personal note getting sent off in the 2008 final. So, to get that long-awaited championship win is extra special. And as you can see from the clips that have gone around social media the last. Few days, it just shows what it means to the lads and suppose the community as a whole as well, which sort of gives everyone a big lift.
Yeah, it must have been a real dogged game, was it? 2-5 to 1-7, the final score.
Yeah, look, I think after 20 minutes, it was just like the score was 2-1. It was a very tight affair. We knew it was going to be Daryl Hunts would have been favourites in that game. They had a great league and won the league. And probably the best team that we had played all year. So, a large part of that first half was, I suppose, both teams were trying to feel their way in the game, and we're set up very defensively as such. And back that in the final, a lot of nerves in that. We did, I suppose, open up a bit of a lead after that. One of the guys, Harry Lahren, players were thrown there. He scored a couple of goals first that put us in the. I think it's 6 points up at one stage, but Darren Hammond fought back, and it was I think it was a draw for a portion of the game, and you know we got our noses in front and actually had hold out for about 10 minutes near the end. And you can imagine it was nail biting stuff. You know, albeit not a high scoring game, but there was plenty going on within that.
Has it been a tough journey with the club specifically? Because I know the last 2 years that the clubhouse has been burnt down twice, and I know it's basically been on the border of Armagh, but also it's not a fully nationalist area. It's a mixed community. Like, what's it like in the village?
The village, I suppose, looking in from that, yeah, look, the club has had its problems over the last number of years, especially with the fires and that. Mm-hmm. But the one thing about the club is that, to be honest, it is fantastic, and it's a real community driven sort of club. I suppose before them fires and that, there's never been any problems in the way at all. Like, everyone gets on with their own business, and there's nothing towards there at all. So look, the club's faced its challenges the last number of years with them setbacks and that. However, everyone does, whenever a problem arises from the club, you find that everyone does it all together. I suppose that win last weekend is really going to add that. It's really, you only had to see the amount of the crowds and stuff when we were coming home through the way. How it actually lifted everyone, and everyone's just patting you in the back. It's a surreal feeling. It's different. I suppose I could never comprehend it after, you went with one thing to the county, and that's grand, but when you see that whole community and the people you've grown up with, it's extra special. And say, look, it meant a lot to a lot of people, and it gives a lot of people who's been around the club for a long, long number of years, it's given them a serious lift. I've seen people around the streets and around the bars on Sunday night that I'd never seen out and about in a long time, so it's great to see.
Is it even more special for you doing it with your brother?
Definitely. I suppose it's got that whole history with Sean. I played with Sean when he started playing with the senior team, man. It was a long, long time ago. I suppose him finishing out his county career this year. If people said before, it would be nice to send him in the club season, being able to get it together for him would have been fantastic, and we were able to do that. So there's that extra special bit where, even after the games, that we had the two families, that Sean's family and my family and dad and the brother, and the whole lot of us were up and pictures and stuff that you're going to have for years to come, and it is something special that you'll look back on. So Dad was actually on the team the last time the Mai won the intermediate. It was back in 1982, I believe. So to see him holding the cup with the generations of Sean's two kids, and I have a 12-week-year-old baby as well. So it's fantastic times.
That's amazing. I was just going to ask you about the newborn baby, how it's been some period for you the last few months, winning Ulster, winning the club championship, now a newborn baby.
Yeah, look, it's been a busy time. I suppose Chloe was born 2 days after Ulster final, so I didn't have much time to get over that now. But look, it's been fantastic. And Lavina, she didn't actually attend the game. She came up. She thinks she left about 20 minutes to go when we were 6 points up, and she got to the Kiarkmore, and we were drawn. So she sat in the car until the game was over. She said she just couldn't watch it. So, but look, it's fantastic to have that special bond around at the minute. And it's just been a whirlwind few months for me, and the championship has really has made that extra special. But as you say, with a newborn, you get no time to settle back into things.
Say not. I assume it's me being completely ignorant, but I assume it's affected your routine then.
Not really, to be totally honest with you. I suppose I have a very understanding wife who, in them times after Chloe was born, the 18th of July, so I suppose we were still in the thick of the football season. So No, look, to be fair, she was just fantastic. Like, she took over a lot of duties in early stages, and has continued to do so. So, Dana, I suppose she comes, she understands the commitment that we put in, and she sees what Sean does as well. So, she's very accommodating that way. But yeah, look, the things that you do, you just can't get up and do what you want anymore. You have to a few more considerations back ahead, and then say over the winter time, I say I have to get a lot more hands on when the football packs in and that. So, but not overly routine, hasn't changed really that much. But I'd say I expect over the next few months that that'll be reined in.
And your wife was at the Ulster final, is that right? Just 2 days before giving birth.
She was, yeah. No, she wasn't due till the following Saturday. She had been in for an appointment a couple of weeks before it, and they'd said, "Oh, no, you'll be grand." There's no, she made it panic, or whatever. So then she was due to get blood tests or something done on the Monday after the final, and she went down. I went down with her after Sunday, and they said, "No, you're staying where you are." So it was a wee bit of a shock. We've had a bit of a shock to the system, but nothing, you know, we're sort of half prepared for, but as prepared you can be for having a baby, to be fair.
And tell me, what was it like growing up with Sean? I read stories before that you were both very, very competitive, let's put that mildly.
Look, that's very true, yeah. Like the I suppose the two of us, I suppose, being the younger brother, I always wanted to, I suppose, emulate him and, you know, try and outdo him and anything that we done. And yeah, I suppose when as we get up, and we've done everything together, to be honest. It didn't matter what we were doing, whether we talk about playing PlayStations, playing computers, but I kicking football, I playing basketball, just anything together. Like, we've done everything together. I suppose being the younger guy, I was knocking around with the older guys and his friends and that when I was younger, and as we grew older, you know, I suppose we did very close, and suppose we've done everything together, and it drove each other on, I think, because we were so competitive in anything we were doing. And yes, it might have led to a few rides down the years, but it was just literally one trying to outdo the other and everything we were doing. And I suppose you can add that, you can see that even now. We still do it now. We're still even now playing in the off season, playing basketball or playing squash in the off season. Too many times we would come out talking to each other, like, so it's just a competitive nature in both of us.
Well, would you play much basketball?
Only in the winter, I say. If we don't get much time, we would have played a good bit growing up. Not not really for my last time playing, it would have been for schools and that. But we play every winter. We find that there's plenty of transferable skills in it as well. So now we say every winter we get maybe whatever it is, 10, 12 lads, and we go to either Armagh or the Torrent and Donnymore up around where we are, and just we play maybe once or twice a week. Right? So
it's funny, even just talking about competitiveness, I was thinking after Sean's comments after the All-Ireland semi-final, I was wondering how would you feel maybe about, like, would you be thinking, Jesus, Sean, like, we're not that far off Dublin?
I personally didn't think we were that far away, and I suppose he might say a lot saying about how good they were and that, and it was for a comment. Yeah. But I think me personally, I don't think we're a million miles away. But on that given day, we were just we were outclassed on that day. So, but look, that's one of those things we just have to. We had to take it in the chin and take the criticism that came with it. But no, look, I don't think we're a million miles out of the way. But I suppose you start back in a long season ahead, and you just don't know where things come. And you know, people say, "Oh, you got the quarter final 1 year and the semi final next year." You know, there's only one place to go next year. Like, it doesn't work as well. It doesn't work like that. We just have to. People go back to old cliches of trying to rebuild and start, and that's what you have to do. You just have to dust yourselves down and go again. So
you must be getting a feeling, though, and part of me thinks that's almost, you know, why Mickey Hart staying on. Like, you must be getting a feeling that you are getting closer. Like, people have reminded me about it since, but I thought you were going to beat Dublin that day.
Yeah, and so did we. Like, you know, there's no, you don't go in there. Like, Mickey always instills that into a lot of their own teams. You don't go out fearing anybody, and you know, you I thought personally we were in a really, really good position going into that game against Dublin, and you know we probably were, but you know some games just don't materialise into what you expect them to, and that was one of them. But I suppose you have to give credits, I suppose, to Dublin. You know, it's an unbelievable force now. But we take a lot of positives from the season we had, and Mickey's back for another, I think, 3 years or whatever. So and there's a good nucleus of lads there, and we do see a lot of potential there, but you know, I suppose you have to realize that potential at some point. So there's no point saying there's potential there if you don't realize it. So we've got good step forward, I suppose, getting retained also this year. So it's just about going again, like, and you know, getting on with it.
And it's like the year's probably going to keep getting better. I assume that you're probably going to end up with an all-star at the end of it all. Like, would you be offended if you got it for fullback?
to be fair, and I look at the personal things are always a bonus in these sort of respects. So say any player will tell you to see him. So we'll go down to the night and we'll see what happens on that front. And now look, whatever happens, and I'll not be worrying too much about it. And yeah, of course it'd be nice to top off the year with it. But if it didn't happen, it wouldn't be the end of the world. No, definitely not.
So you'll take a number three spot. That's what you're saying.
Sorry?
You'll take a number three spot at fullback? Is that what you're saying?
I would take any spot if it was hard to say. I wouldn't worry. So actually, I was getting a lot of abuse around the club about being about moving to fullback in the years to come. So that's one thing they've got earmarked for me. And I keep saying, no, I'm going back up the pitch in the 14 again, where I started. But it's good banter. It's good banter. Sean will keep me going. There's a lot of. But I suppose daddy was a fullback all his life, so
yeah.
They keep giving me a bit of abuse that I'm going his direction. So
I remember Sean described you as Makaleli one time. When did you first get into that role?
Yeah.
When was you first dropped into that sweeper role?
I actually don't remember, to be totally honest with you. I said growing up I was never a defender at all. Like, I was probably a lazy forward. what it classed myself, but I suppose it's just one of those things that developed, and I think Mickey did see it in my game and the way that I was playing, that it was going back, and I was going back a lot on my own without even having to be asked. So I suppose it developed from there. I don't really remember the final point of going out. Well, this is my position. But I think Mickey did try me out before the a good number of years ago in that sort of sweeper role, but then moved me back out again. So it's one of those things that just sort of develop. And you know what, even for my year, I find myself doing a lot, because traditionally you would have had us boys trying to sort of stay up further up the pitch and, you know, try and get scores and that. So but I suppose I find myself doing a similar enough role for double the minute from midfield. So but as I said, it's just one of those things that's developed over time, and so you run with it, and until told otherwise. So no, I just don't remember any defining point where they sort of said, right, that, you know, you're going in towards playing sweeper all the time. It just sort of evolved, and I don't know, just screw legs after.
And is there much? I know there's flexibility in that you can get up the pitch whenever you see fit, I suppose, but. Well, like, is there much talk from Morgan behind you, or like, do you have your specific role, or will you just sort of play it as the game dictates?
You play a lot of football's very there's so many variables in football, like, and you can go out and set out those various systems and various things that you think you're going to do, and sometimes you just have to play the game as you see it, and read a game, and you know that's like, again, Dublin, I suppose, looking back on it, they didn't kick very many ball in the zones and that, so then I suppose that's what sort of cut me out quite a lot. So yeah, look, you go out to do certain things, and now we'll be trying to keep me right, or if I'm coming running back, you know, some of the lads will be trying to keep you right, especially if the ball's coming back up the pitch. So but a lot of it is, you just have to play, a lot of it you have to play as you see it, and you know, you can, you know where you're going to be in a certain given time, but you know, things adapt very, very quickly. So you just have to make decisions very, very, you know, on the spot. And sometimes you're right, and sometimes you're wrong. And it was that's football. You can't be too rigid. You can't say, you know, have to do this and have to do that. You're not allowed here. You're not allowed there. Because I think the day that you do that is the day that, you know, you're going to be caught out, because you have to be able to adapt in football, and you have to be very you have to move with the game, and every game's different.
And you're 30 now, Colin. Like, would you say that you're a leader in the changing room? Or like, I remember it was against Armagh. You and Matty Donnelly seemed to be digging each other out. Like, you're not shy in voicing your opinion on the pitch.
On the pitch, I would probably be a lot more vocal on the pitch than I would be in the changing room. I wouldn't class myself as I suppose my head, I talk when I need to talk, and when I see a valid point. So, yeah, look, me and Matty would have our run-ins on the pitch, and like every other player, like you try and keep guys on their toes, because you know, it's a long game, football, and people can tune in and out on the stand, especially if they're trying to keep people always tuned in and always on what they're doing, and you know, trying to play smart. But yeah, look. I suppose I'm getting on, and like, I'm actually now Sean. I suppose Sean's moved on, and Justin. So I suppose I am the oldest there now at the minute. So, and that's maybe brings in somebody older. So I do see myself as a bit of a leader, but you know, more so probably on the pitch, and that I can give opinions when needed and feedback when needed. But you know, change rooms and that. You know, tend to let the lads do their talking and see what happens after that.
And just finally, the Ulster club on the 29th against Carrickmacross. How are you set? Have you stopped drinking?
It is a bit of a bonus territory for us. We've never been here before, so. The guys had a good go at it this week. Unfortunately, I only had the one night from it. I'd had to get back into work. But we're starting back soon here again this evening. So that we're in uncharted territory. And from what I've heard over the last few days, Carrickmacross are very strong. So I've traditionally been a strong enough senior team. So we'll get back to training tonight, and you know, we'll want to do as well as we can in the competition, because you know, we haven't got here in a long, long time. So we'll give it our best shot, and luck wherever it takes us. And that we'll not look past the 29th, and we'll see how we go from there. And that's what we've done every game this year in the Throne Championship. Like, we at the start of the year, there wouldn't have been too many teams putting us down to win the championship, especially in league form, because we finished, I think, 8th or 9th in the league or whatever, you know. So we didn't have a good league campaign, but we knew we had enough firepower in the team to pull it together into the championship. So we'll not look past the 29th, and we'll see how it goes after that.
Well, all the very best. Thanks very much, Colin.
No worries at all, Colin. Anytime, hey.
Dearie, great to finally get to interview you.
Oh, really, yeah.
Why
is it great?
Why do you not do many interviews?
I don't know, really. I wasn't being asked to do a whole pile of...
Really?
Yeah. Have you ever rang me?
I know we spoke about the defensive side of things. If you're coming in and you want to be the Woolly Parkinson and just play for myself, and an inter-county corner forward isn't just hatching inside either. Unfortunately for you, Woolly, it won't last forever. You can ask ex-players that. You can ask you know that yourself, Woolly.
Yeah, mine never started at all.
Yeah, well, that's neither here nor there.
AIB, back in club and county.
Alright, another massive weekend of club fixtures ahead. I suppose we'll start on Saturday night with Air Sports coverage of the Dublin semi-finals. Now, we have a massive weekend of deciders taking place all over the country, but some tasty some tasty battles in store here on Saturday night in Parnell Park. Ballymun against Kilmacud. I mean, Paddy Small's just fresh from scoring 1-6 against Bridget's for Ballymun. Dean Rock scored just 8 points for him. And Paul Mannion, like, lit it up against Castleknock with one of the best goals I've ever seen.
Incredible. Yeah.
So this is Dublin quarterfinals. Now we're going to the semi-final, and Jesus, like, who knows what's in store? Dear McConnelly's going to be playing in the other one. I mean, God almighty, like,
a couple more ridiculous kick passes coming in.
Like, I know, like, people would accuse me of going over the top, but after I saw some of the passes he was producing, I remember Senan Connell telling me last year that I really need to go on a Friday or Saturday night to the Dublin Championship and watch Dear McConnelly kick the ball. And listen, I just thought, Senan, I've seen him kick the ball before.
yeah.
But my God, he wasn't lying. I actually started getting angry then. I was like, we don't talk about Dear McConnelly enough. Like, you know, we need to.
Coming from you.
Yeah, we need to praise this man even more. The evergreen Mossy Quinn also, like, Vincent's are playing Jude's, that's in the second game. Mossy Quinn is just like, when is he ever going to stop scoring? What's the story there?
Never seen a better man for kind of just waiting to pick his moment and coming off the loop. You know, just such a model of efficiency, and I suppose he kind of built that up over the years, but he's still posting ridiculous tallies. Then you have Enda Varley, who's like a Mayo County player for years, and that, like, in the full forward line as well. Yes. And they move Connolly inside the odd time, so, like, at times when you're playing Vincent's, that's your three man for forward line. So
Jude's have Declan Donnelly doing well for them. Kev McMenamin as well. Like, you know, it's going to be a good battle. Like, but this is Dublin. Like, you know, I know we complain about Dublin and stuff and having too many clubs and that, but, like, my God, what a club championship they've got going there.
Yeah, and I mean, I would imagine that all of the ambitions of the best clubs in Dublin at the start of the year isn't not just limited to county at all. It's like all Ireland, like, would be the first kind of thing that they're listing for.
Yeah, if you win Dublin, you're basically one of the favourites to win.
Amazing chance, yeah.
Yeah. On Sunday, TG Cahir have two games. One of them's deferred. The deferred match they're showing is in the Cork football final, Nemo Rangers against St Finbars at Parky Creeve. But at 4 p.m. they're showing live coverage from Limerick, the Limerick Senior Hurling Championship final, and the Piercy against Kilmallock at the Gaelic Grounds. I mean, that's two, like, I'm not even a massive club hurling follower, but I know those two clubs.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, geez, like, that's an all amazing sort of set of fixtures. If you want to sit in your Irish and don't go to any games.
Exactly, yeah.
Up in Ulster, I was dying to get to this. Kilcoo against Slochneil, that's going to be a real good one. Like, that's the Ulster first round. Down champions against the Derry champions, that's in the football. Kilcoo beat Steve McDonald's Burnside in the down final. That's in Park Essler in Newry at 2:30 p.m. Antrim football final's on. Landerig, well, they call it Landerig up there, but it should be Lough Yarrig, shouldn't it?
You know, you tell me.
That being pernickety about my Irish. But in Belfast, I say Landerig. They're playing St John's of Glenavy, 3:15. The Armagh final is also on. Mahery, who beat Cross McGlen, against Armagh Harps. The Cork one, we mentioned. Donegal final, Kilcar against Niamh Connell. I mean, Kilcar have got a lot of coverage on Air Sport recently.
Yeah.
I mean, I could watch Ryan McHugh all day long.
A lot of Ryan McHugh palming it into the net goals.
Nobody, like, he's very young, yeah, but nobody has scored as many palm goals as he has.
Nobody scored, and I mean this with the greatest respect for Ryan McHugh, nobody has scored the easiest of goals. Nobody has scored more easy goals than Ryan McHugh has in the last few years. He's made it an art form, just the ghosting in behind the defence, nobody tracking him, just palming it to the net.
Yeah, and, like, we say easy goals, but they've 80 metre runs before them. Like,
the finishes, I mean.
Yeah, and it's amazing, yeah, how he times it so well. Like, yeah, he got one. Paddy McBurty, like, went on this amazing solo run, and McHugh just seems to know where the ball is going to be all the time. And
yeah,
well, it seems to be 2 yards out on the line.
And has he had, like, I know he wears 5 for Kilcar as well, but I don't think he's played a right half back for about 5 years.
That's what we're saying, like, last week about the numbers. Like, number 5 looks right on Ryan McHugh, no matter where he plays. That should be good. Sorry, Kilcar against Niamh Connell. That's an hour brilliant game. Like, Kilcar haven't won in ages since Martin McHugh's day.
Yeah.
So it's a good one. Galway football final, Cora Finn are back in it against Mount Bellew Mulock. Is that right?
Just
muttered it, so nobody would understand.
Yeah, that's
it. I don't know what you know about Galway, but do they have any chance against Cora Finn?
Cora Finn will be strong favourites. Interesting that Joe Bergen still playing for Mount Bellew by my last.
Jesus, what is
it? I'm not actually sure. He must be hitting 40. But amazing longevity. But you'd have to think Cora Finn are favourites, having won Connacht again last year. Yeah.
Kildare, like, loads of finals on Sunday. Kildare celebrating against Murrayfield at 3:30 p.m. in Newbridge. The Laois football final, thank God Willie's not here.
It'll be half an hour preview.
Port Laois are playing Ballylinnan. Yeah, I mean, like, do you know that this man captained Portlaoise to an All-Ireland final? I don't know why you make fun of that. That's an amazing achievement.
I know he wasn't eligible for the Portlaoise Intermediates this year. So
what a real shame. And they got to the final as well and won it, did they, in the end?
Yeah.
The Louth final, Dundalk Gales against Newtown Blues in Gaelic Grounds, 3:30 p.m. The Monaghan football final, these are all senior championship clashes. Maharaclun against Scotstown, the huge brawlers of Scotstown will be playing in that. Offaly football final, I mean, Road should be favourites there, they're playing Clara, 3:30 p.m. Tipperary football final, Clonmare Commercial should be favourite there against Killinall,
something like that. Yeah.
You get people who text them
to try these before
phonetic pronunciation of these. Tyrone final at a senior final, Oma against Errigal Kearn, that should be a real clinker actually. Peter Hart's going to be there as well. Like, I mean, can we talk about Peter Hart for a bit?
Have you not done enough?
Yeah. I don't like talking about Peter Hart and Dermot Connolly in the same segment.
No, you very much do.
Like, I do a lot, but it feels like I'm sort of cheating on one of them. Wicklow football final, Blessington against Rathnew in Aughrim, 3 p.m. on Sunday. Carlow hurling final, Mount Leinster Rangers against Niamh Owen, Netwatch Cullen Park. Almost there, Clare senior hurling final. I mean, that should be a cracker. 6 Mile Bridge against Cluny Quinn. Kerry senior hurling final, that's a replay, Ballyduff against Lixnaw in Austin Stack Park. And the London senior hurling championship final, Robert Emmets against Kilburn Gales. Do you know much about London hurling?
No, I'm afraid not.
Alright, we'll leave that there. Listen, you'll be delighted to know that Willie's back next week, and it has been 20 years since the Laois Minors won the All-Ireland, so...
Is it a special?
I don't know, but it might be. Like, you know, he doesn't get to mention it very often on the show, so...
We might be getting turf for Beano McDonald and Chris Conway next week.
And they're talking about Portlaoise's triumph in the club football final. But, yep, that's all we have. I'll see you next week at 4 p.m. What am I talking about? See you next week on Thursday. All the best.
I'm not finished yet. It took me a long time to get here.
Both parents have spoken with each other, and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other, and both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
That these fellas will get such a f***ing shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their f***ing houses for f***ing 10 years.
The GAA Hour with Colin Parkinson is sponsored by AIB, proudly backing club and county.